Hallelujah. It is good this morning to be able to enter into a time of focused praise and worship again and to give honor and glory to God. And I know that if from your heart that you entered in this morning, that God is blessed with the worship and the praise that was offered to him. And we have a privilege to join our voices together, to join our hearts together, and someday we will get to experience that in heaven, in the presence of the Almighty God. We are now in his presence with him dwelling here, but to see him as he is, wow. I look forward to that. I don't know about you, but I look forward to that time we can see him as he is. What a day. Hallelujah. Yeah, we thank you. We thank the Father that we have opportunity to look into the ancient words, the Bible that stands true, that stands holy, that doesn't change, the rock that we can lean on. And I believe God has a word for us in Exodus 17, verses 8 through 16. You can turn there if you want to this morning and follow along as we read. So in setting the stage for the message this morning, recognizing that we are living in some interesting times. There is no question in my mind that we are living in times where we are being challenged and we are being tested in different ways than what we may have been used to. And recognizing that we are up against an enemy that is not flesh and blood. Many times we may see it, we may feel it, we may experience it as flesh and blood, but I want us to recognize this morning that we are up against the enemy of Jesus Christ. There's one goal that Satan has, and that is to destroy the church. There's one goal, I believe, in Satan's mind, and that is to destroy anyone who has become a follower of Jesus Christ. But one of the things that I was challenged with again as I looked into this message, and I looked, it was as we came through the Exodus, through the deliverance of the children of Israel from Egypt, and we looked at how that God orchestrated that whole thing and brought it about and made it happen. And he continues as they go into the wilderness, and we will take a little bit of a look here this morning at a familiar story, but one I believe that has a message for us again today. And a message for today. Because I believe that it's important this morning that we recognize that we don't fight alone. I titled the message, "Don't Fight Alone." We are in a battle. We're in a battle against the enemy of Jesus Christ. We are in that battle. And we experience it every day. We experience it through all the things that happen throughout a day. And let me just start with a story of Louis. And for those of you that don't know who Louis is the cat that invaded our house and became a permanent residence there. And I kind of agree with Ken Davis, that cats are not Christian. So Louis was out on the deck, and right off of our dining room, we have patio doors that go out to the deck. And Louis was out there at bedtime, and I would be more inclined to let him out there. But anyway, after a while, I heard this awful noise that only can come from something that is not Christian. There's two, and I ran to the door there, and I looked, and here Louis was cornered at the corner of the deck with a big gray tomcat sitting in front of him. And they were making awful noises at each other. I didn't know that Louis had it in him, but he was making a fuss like I had never heard him do. I didn't know that he can even make noise much. He doesn't meow much and that kind of thing. But anyway, I came to Louis' rescue much as that I opened the door and then jumped out on the deck, and the big gray tomcat took off, and Louis was cowering there in the corner, and I called him to come inside and he wouldn't move. So finally I went and picked him up and brought him inside, and after a while his tail went down to normal size again. But I just saw that picture. We can't sometimes. We're backed in a corner, and we cannot fight alone. We need someone to step in. We need someone to get our back. We need someone to help us, because we can't fight the battle alone. And there is people. There is people that are willing to pray with you. There is people that are willing to pray for you.
But I believe that like Moses, we need to take the first step and we need to find those people and we need to have them come around us. And we need to make an awful ruckus sometimes to get the attention. Okay, let me be careful with that. But sometimes we have to make a ruckus and say, I need help. I need help. I'm backed in a corner and I can't get out. And there is a big gray tomcat, 3 or 4 pounds heavier than me. You know what I'm saying? Let's read the scripture. Exodus 8 says this, now Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men. Don't miss that statement. Choose us some men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. And so Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and they put it under him and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side, the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And then the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called its name, the Lord is my banner. For he said, because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. And I am here to tell you this morning that from generation to generation, we do war with Satan, the enemy of God. In order to do battle, we have to recognize who he is and what he's doing. In order to do battle, we need to have some people who can come alongside of us, who can pray for us, who can help us to hold up our hands in the battle. We cannot fight alone, but we try. We try. We cannot fight alone. People of God, we are up against the most ruthless enemy that has ever been on the face of the earth since the beginning of time. And that is Satan himself. We are up against the most ruthless of enemies. So you see, Satan is not moved by the cry of a child. It doesn't touch his heart. It doesn't reach his cold inner being. It doesn't matter that you have just been through surgery and you are weak and you do not have the strength to carry on yourself. That doesn't matter to him. He will hit you when you're down. He will get you when you're at your most vulnerable point. We need each other to hold up our hands. He doesn't care. He will take advantage of the weak, the elderly. You think the elderly don't have struggles? They do. They would love to be young and vibrant and be able to do all the things that they could do. You think the enemy isn't going to throw that in their face every time he gets an opportunity? He is a rascal. He is a rascal. He is mean. There is nothing about him. There is nothing about him that is good. The advertisements for alcohol, drugs, and sex, and whatever it might be, will make it look good. He is not good. Amen? He is not good. And we need each other to hold up our hands. You know, we're coming into a time where I think, you know, reflecting on that shooting on Route 95 with Julie Eberle, it's just ridiculous. Karen was in at Dollar General here last week, and Dollar General has the checkouts where there's kind of a narrow aisle where you come into, and she went to the second one, which was closest to the door, because there was nobody at the first one. She went to the second one. There was a cashier waiting there, began to check Karen's stuff out, and And in the meantime, there was a lady came in at the other one, and then another cashier came there and checked that lady out. And that lady didn't have as much as Karen did and was finished. But the aisle is not hardly wide enough to get two carts past each other. And after a while, Karen heard this behind her. And after a while, "You're just totally ridiculous." And Karen turned around and was like, "Me? Yeah, you." As she shoved her cart in between past Karen's cart, and, "I'm in a hurry, I got to go." Do you think for 1 minute it wasn't spiritual? I believe it was. You're driving down the road and somebody just all of a sudden just really loses it on you. You think it's not spiritual? I think it is. Do you think we're going to come into more and more of a time where Jim talked about the church in Canada where they came in, and do you think we're going to experience more? We better get ready, church. We need to get ready. And it's going to start with the little things. It's going to start with that person pushing past you in the aisle. Are we able to respond in a godly way? Have we prepared our hearts? That's the question I had to ask myself. I told Karen, I said, "We're going to see more of this. Because if you are in any way identified with the conservative side of government," unfortunately it's come to that to a certain extent. But also, if you're a Christian, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, what Krista, our daughter, experienced in the hospital here 2 weeks ago is ridiculous. Was it spiritual? I believe it was. I believe it was. Do you have somebody that you can call on to help hold up your hands? Do you have someone? And I think sometimes, I know that there are many times that we have opportunity, but we want to try and do it on our own. "I can do this. I got this. I don't need your help. I got this." No, you don't. No, you don't have it against the enemy. The enemy is powerful. "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." That is correct. But we fight this fight against the enemy. And one of the things, there's a couple of things, and I'll talk to them a little bit later. One is the world, the flesh. Those are things that we find. Another story of Louis yet, and then I'll quit with Louis, but Louis loves to stand in the hallway. He'll run down the hall and lay in the bathroom there where the door's hanging open, you know, and he'll jump out at you, and he's back up, and he's playing, you know. But he has teeth, and he don't realize how sharp those teeth are. But he started this thing where he'll lay under our bed. And so we're getting ready for bed, and you crawl in bed. You sit down on the edge of the bed, and you swing your one foot up, and the other one's still down. As you begin to swing it up, he dashes out from under the bed and grabs your foot, teeth and all. And it's a most vulnerable position. You can't kick or anything because you're halfway in bed and halfway out. And so he gets you at your most vulnerable point. I don't know how he does it every time. Well, he don't do it every time you get in bed. It's just that he gets you by surprise. He waits. He blindsides you. And see, that's a work of the enemy. Not in Louis, but that's a work of Satan. That's how Satan operates. He gets you. He blindsides you. He does not get you when you're at your strongest point. He finds the weakest link. And if we look at this story, if we look at what was happening, the reason that they came and they fought against Amalek was that Amalek had come up behind them when they were traveling, and he slaughtered the old and the weakest that were straggling behind. He took them at their weakest point. Amalek is a type of Satan, okay? He will get you at your weakest point. He will watch for the place where you falter. And sometimes he gets you at your strongest point. Why was it Peter, the boldest of the disciples, that when he was confronted about whether he was one of Jesus' disciples, denied it? One of the boldest of the disciples, he denied it. It was the strongest place. So Satan not always goes after your weakest point, but he will also go after your strong points and try and bring you down. So we have the story as it unfolds here throughout in Exodus 16, where they were in the wilderness and they needed food. And God sent the manna from heaven. They grumbled and they complained, so God sent them manna from heaven. They go on a little bit, and in the beginning of chapter 17, they're thirsty. They're in the wilderness. It's dry. It's desert. They're thirsty, and they have no water. What did they do? They complained. So one of the things that stood out to me again was that Satan, so often, he tries to get you from within. He will try within, whether it's family, within yourself, within the church. He tries from within to cause people to fall, cause them to grumble, cause them to complain, and cause them to fail. And sometimes he comes from without, which is what we see with Amalek. And we see him coming from the outside and attacking them from behind, getting them when they're weak. So it's not always internal, but sometimes it is. And so we need to recognize that Satan's goal will always be to show up and stop us. No matter how, whatever he has to do that. Show up and stop you. Show up and stop you. Show up when you're driving down the road and you're weary and you're tired and you're on your way home from work. And I am unbelievable. The 5 o'clock work traffic is ridiculous. People lose their minds when they're going home from work. Yeah, you guys that are truck drivers, you know that. They're just totally, I don't know what happens. I don't know what happens, but it's like, stay off the road if you can around 5 o'clock. Satan, who had not stopped them with internal conflict, caused an external conflict that he brought against them. And he killed off the people that were lagging, exhausted, lagging behind. Amalek is a picture of the world's hostility towards us. And I believe that we will continue to see more and more of this happen, as I said, of the enemy of God. Satan is ruthless. So we are in a battle. The battle we face is this. It is Satan. We are in a battle. We're in a war. We are fighting against. In 2 Timothy 2:3, it says this, endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 2:3. Matthew 10:34 says this, do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. So there are many times that we as Christians, sometimes we're on the attack, and sometimes we're being attacked. And so whenever there's times in life where you feel like God has given you the energy and you can stand up against the enemy and you can pray for people, you can share the gospel message with people, and you can do good things for people, for humanity. Do them, because it's not always going to be that opportunity. You will not always have that opportunity. Satan has what's called an unholy trinity: the devil, the world, and sinful nature. And I want to just to look at these here just briefly. When facing Satan, and recognizing that some of the stuff that Satan does is just totally, totally. Like, you say, how could somebody do that? We have seen people under the power of Satan. We have seen people move under the power of Satan. Just several weeks ago, there was two men that broke into a white man's house. Sorry, I wasn't going to say that. There was two men that broke into a house. They covered a man with flammable liquids and they set him on fire. And nobody knows really why. Just kind of for the fun of it, maybe. Teenagers. These were teenagers. What would tell a person to do that other than one wicked, wicked Satan? Doused him in a flammable liquid and set him on fire. Satan is a ruthless enemy. He is a ruthless enemy. And we need to recognize it. the world. We see the world and how the world draws people away from God. So the world is an enemy of God. The world, in 1 John 2:15, it says, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. This is what the world's made up of. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. The world draws people. It's an enemy of God. Another one is the flesh. We find that the flesh is one of the things that we battle with so many times. So many times we battle with the flesh. Our old nature wants to listen to Satan. Our new nature wants to listen to God, and we're caught in the middle there, and we do this here battle back and forth. Charles Spurgeon had a college for young preachers. On one occasion, a young man, highly gifted, preached a masterful sermon on the Christian's armor listed in Ephesians chapter 6. And as he was preaching this message, he was putting on the armor piece by piece with great oratory demonstration. And as he would put on another piece of the armor, and he would tell how that was. And when he finally came to the end of his presentation, and he took up the sword and he said, "Now where's the enemy?" While he was in this armor, Spurgeon, sitting in the front row, leaned front and he said, "It's inside the armor." Can we identify with that? Sometimes the worst enemy is right here. Sometimes the worst enemy is right here. Satan would have no power. Maybe if I would call on a brother, if I would call a brother or two to pray for me and help hold my hands up. You see, sometimes the biggest enemy is right here. When God is saying all along, find somebody to pray with you. Find somebody to help you with this battle. Find someone. One of the things that we do is that when we pray for people, we do battle in our closets. And never forget, it makes a difference. It makes a difference. It makes a difference when you pray for someone. It makes a difference when you pray for your brother, for your sister. It makes a difference when you pray for that one that has failed instead of talking nasty about them. Pray for them. Pray for them. Charles Simon says this: the success of the Israelites here depended not upon the bravery of the soldiers or the skill of their commander, but on the holding up of the hands of Moses far away from the battlefield or far away from the battle. The power of prayer can help, my friends. It can help. And Spurgeon points this out. He said, note, it was Joshua was the one that went into battle. Joshua was the one that chose men and went into the battle, but Moses and Hur and Aaron went up on the mountain, and Moses held up the rod of God. And this rod was the same one that was stretched out over the river, and it parted the waters, and the frogs came and all that. Whatever that rod was, it was significant. And Moses held up this rod. And Spurgeon points this out. He said, it was not when Joshua grew weary in the fight that they lost the battle. It was not when Joshua grew weary. It was when Moses grew weary. It was when the one who was holding up his hands for the battle grew weary. And I ask you this morning, are you weary this morning? Are you weary of the battle? Are you weary of holding up your hands? Are you weary of getting in your closet and getting alone with God and making a difference for the kingdom of God? Are you weary? Then call someone alongside of you to help you pray. Call someone alongside of you to help you to overcome what the enemy is doing. Spurgeon went on and said that there's another name for the sinful nature with its pride. Self is another name for the sinful nature with its pride. Loves the battlefield where everyone watches to see how strong we are. Self hates the closet where we tell God how weak and wicked we are. Let me read that again. Self, with its pride, loves the battlefield where everyone watches to see how strong we are. Self hates the closet where we tell God, I'm weak and I need help. That's self that hates when we do that. As we notice here in this scripture, the thing that happened first, as it relates to how we do battle for God and for his kingdom, is that first of all, we call out men, we call out women, we call out someone to help with the battle. That's the first step. And then the next step, I believe, is to be obedient. It's to be obedient. It says that, it says in verse 10, so Joshua did as Moses asked him. Obedience. Obedience. Joshua did as Moses asked him. He was obedient. They defeated Amalek. And there was an altar set up. And it was to the honor and the glory of God. These were God's people in God's army fighting God's battles. Remember this morning, you are in God's army. You are in God's battle. You are fighting for him. And the Bible says that whatever you do, do to the honor and glory of who? God. Whatever you do, do to the honor and glory of God. That's in our everyday walk. That's in our shopping experience, our driving experience, our work experience, our school experience. Every day, to the honor and the glory of God. Unfortunately, too much of our so-called fighting is service and effort really for ourselves. Think about it. Is there a lot of our battle that we do just for us? Or do we see the bigger picture? Do we see the bigger picture? Do we see that the battle that we do is for the Lord? It is God's battle. It is for him that we fight. Or are we just fighting for ourselves? Are all my prayers about how I can feel better, how I can look better, how I can smell better? I don't know what. Just whatever. You know, we get so selfish in our prayers. Lord, I hope this day is good. You know, for me. I hope this day is good for me. I want this day. Lord, make this day good for me. When did I last stop and say, make this day good for Lowell, for Ed, for Dave? Or is it all about me? When I do battle, is it about me? The question is, do we do what we do for ourselves or for the Lord? And in conclusion, let me just draw up again that through this here scripture, as we see it happen, in verse 9, they chose out men. They went and they fought with the rod of God. They did not fight on their own. They fought with the rod of God. That's what Moses held up. In verse 10, they were obedient. In verse 11, and so it was that when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, the Amalek prevailed. We need each other. We need the body of Christ. We cannot fight alone. You can't do this fight alone. Don't fight alone. Don't fight alone. You don't have to. You don't have to. Call on someone. It is not bad. It is not weak. It is not lesser of a person when you need someone to help hold up your hands because they're getting weary. They're starting to come down. The enemy is starting to win. The battle is pushing you down. Call someone. Call someone. Father, we thank you this morning that we have opportunity to look into your word. And I pray, Lord, that as your word goes out, that you would protect it, Father, that the enemy would not be able to destroy it. Lord, I pray for strength. I pray in the times when Satan does his best to work on our minds and our hearts to destroy us, that we would recognize, Lord, that we have a source in you and a strength in you, that the enemy can be defeated every time. Father, I'm calling to you this morning for this congregation, for this fellowship. Lord, give us strength going into the future. recognizing the enemy's attack against the church and against your children, God, I pray for strength for this church. I pray for each one that is here this morning that there would be an exceptional recognition of your presence and the ability to rely on you, to call on you, and to know that ultimately in the end, you win. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for that promise. Thank you for the promises of your word that we have eternal life in you and it's not in this world. And no matter what happens in this world, we can still be committed to you. We can lean on you. We can trust you. And you will carry us through. So, Father, give this place to you. And as we go out, Lord, I pray that we'd be able to be a living testimony of your love and your graciousness. In Jesus' name, amen. Ask the chorister to lead us in song.